Hi, Tony. Jerry Ratcliffe. I was wondering, what is your opinion of the new three-point line, and how do you see that affecting not only your team, but the game in general?
Obviously, I'm not sure yet. You know, it's going back. It's currently 20 feet 9 inches, so it goes back. It goes back, you know, about almost 17 inches at the top and almost, you know, 11 inches in the corners. Sometimes it can separate some shooters. Some watch guys, and some guys, they toe the line, and, you know, they're right there. Guys like that we've had in the past, obviously Ty and Kyle, that wouldn't have been an issue. So it might separate some of the toe the line shooters to some of the other ones. We'll see. Does it open up the court more? You know, obviously the debate is, what about the lane staying the same and not widening it? But when they did it a few years ago, whenever the last time they moved it, I think for a year or so, it dropped percentages and then caught back up. So hard to say. Don't think it'll change a whole lot of what we do systematically. But it might separate a few guys from shooting it, and maybe there'll be a little change on accuracy early on. But a lot of guys shoot the deep ball, you know, from really NBA three, and it probably won't affect too many guys.
Hank.
Tony, can you talk about name a couple of the newcomers that figure prominently in your plans, and kind of address how difficult with your system it is to incorporate all those guys and find a good blend?
Yeah, I mean, I think everyone will have ample opportunity, the newcomers, so to speak, and to say who, you just don't know. Obviously, with the departure of, with Jack and now Marco transferring, and then, you know, the three guys and Dre and Ty and Kyle not coming back, there are some opportunities out there. And you know, so it's the returners, and then, you know, we can go down the list of the guys we brought in, but I think they're excited about those opportunities. There's always a learning curve, and anytime you go from, whether it's high school to college, or even, you know, junior college to college, or coming from a red shirt to being eligible, it's just, you got to get used to playing that, and I think there is no substitute for experience, but the returners are really important to lead well, and I think the newcomers will. I can't tell you exactly. Yep, this guy figures in prominently. I think obviously on the perimeter, those guys got some great chances. And we've got, with Momedy returning, we've got some, I think, very good, you know, our front court, boards, fives, things like that is strong. But certainly on the perimeter, there'll be some opportunities out there.
Do you view your system as particularly difficult to pick up quickly?
I think, as I mentioned, just going up a level and playing in the ACC for any of these guys, there's the challenge of the physicality and the level of talent and the speed. You know, I don't think we're real complicated in terms of things. I mean, but it's maybe the habits and the discipline. It's not like you got to memorize, you know, 500 plays or exactly what we do, but it's the discipline and the, how, you know, your habits are in terms of being in the right spots, whether it's defensively and just getting used to that. And then, you know, offensively, sometimes it's field things, but it's not, you know, it's the complicated part, I think, is more in the habits of doing it over and over at a high level with efficiency versus, you know, a foreign language, so to speak, and tons of sets and actions. There is that adjustment for every team, but that's where I would say the challenge comes in, really, for almost every player entering, you know, any program.
Thank you. Paul Woody.
Hey, Tony, I'm working on a Father's Day piece, and after the national championship game, your dad said that, of course, he wanted to see you win, but he thought it was more important to be here in case they lost, he said, to be there at a moment when things don't go right. I think that's when parents need to be around. Is that the type of support you've got from him, I guess, your entire life, and how does that type of support affect you?
Yes, not only from him, but from my mom and my family and friends, and that's why when I talk to our team and any chance I get to talk to people, we always talk about you better find things in your life that are unconditional, because if it's just based on conditional. You know, like if, when you're winning at a high level, or, you know, they love you, and then, boy, the second you lose, and that was such a crucial message after we lost to UMBC, you know, in the tournament. All right, fellas, what's unconditional in our life? And I really challenge those young men, myself, our staff, and all around our program, what is it? And, you know, you always go, you know, those of us who are fortunate and blessed, but all of us have family or friends or people in our life that care for you and are there for you unconditionally. You're unconditionally accepted and loved. I can think of no greater gift that a father or a parent or friends can give to each other, especially, you know, talking about Father's Day. That's the deal, and that's the stuff that is of, I think, eternal value, more than just, you know, the fleeting championships or moments of success.
Thank you.
Luke here.
Hey, Coach, could you just tell us a little bit more about Tomas Waldo-Tensai, how he got onto your radar? And I know it's just been one practice, but how he's adjusting to the speed, I guess, at the ACC level.
Well, Thomas, we got to ask him. I was talking to him yesterday. I said, how do I pronounce it exactly? I said, is it Thomas or is it Tomas? He said, well, actually, and he pronounced it a different way if you pronounce it correctly, the Italian way. So he said, you can call me T or you can call me Tomas or Thomas, you're laughing. But he is, he had the same surgery that DeAndre and Kihei had, so that he missed the end of his junior college year with a wrist injury. And so he's just going to be starting to get cleared to do things with his left hand, his shooting hand, basketball-wise. So that stuff is, that will be over the course of the summer where he'll start easing his way back into it. So that part, you know, is obviously to be determined. And when we, you know, when I sensed we were going to, you know, lose a lot of our guys and DeAndre and Ty and Kyle, we felt like we needed, you know, kind of gets to the first question, we needed some help on the perimeter. And so we just sort of looked around and scoured and, you know, I was given a great heads up by a coaching friend of mine that was recruiting him and just said, hey, here's a guy you should take a look at. And so it kind of happened that way. And then, you know, we just pursued it. And again, we thought the experience of someone who's been in the game could be helpful as well.
Brad. So this is obviously a different top 100 camp for a lot of us because we're not going to be the only ones in the room. You guys, the coaches, finally get to come to the event that you have been working next to for so many years. How odd is that going to be, and what are your plans? How you guys are going to handle this thing?
Yeah, I think from 2 p.m. on tomorrow, Thursday, to 2 p.m. Friday, I think that's the window for the coaches, right? So, yeah, it'll be a chance. They just added this to watch some of the guys, as we said. We've been recruiting. Hopefully there's some other ones. It's a short window. And I imagine you'll have most of the college coaches, certainly in the BCS conferences, and the great, you know, the great mid-majors. And I'm sure they'll all be here watching. So I think it'll, for the players, I think it'll add some, you know, when there's more people watching and there's evaluations going on, there's NBA people. Last year, I believe, was the first year that the NBA personnel could come and watch. So yeah, I think it'll be, you know, quite a showcase and exciting for the players. But for the coaches, it's just another, you know, whatever 24-hour or 12-hour period to evaluate these guys playing and to just be here.
Do you like the recruiting changes to the calendar?
Way too soon for me to comment on that. Yeah. This is the first year. So I can't tell you. I don't know. You know, there's a lot of changes. I think the intentions are there to do the right things to get it, you know, spread out. But well, I think we have to see how it plays out before I can answer that accurately.
Josh or Jamie, are you guys on? Hello. Josh.
Hey, yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, Coach Bennett.
Okay, yeah, hey, Tony.
Hey, Josh.
You pulled the tent there earlier.
Josh, I can't. Can you start? Could you say that again?
Sorry.
in talking to Walter Tense, his junior college coach, he mentioned how unique of a personality he was. Was that part of what attracted you to him and made you want to bring him in?
Well, as I mentioned before, you know, we thought we needed to add some experience and just a quality player on the perimeter. And when I was, you know, he was mentioned and we did our homework and watched film and all those kinds of things, his personality came out as a young man of character. We always start with that, and seemed, you know, wanting to challenge himself at a very high level. And so it seemed like it was a good opportunity for both parties. And so that was the stuff, I think that got us interested. You know, you start with the character, then you start with the ability, the fit. And, he's got being a unique background. We have a great mix of guys from different countries, different parts of the states, and I really think that's been important for us. And Thomas brings, you know, that, and he's one of our first junior college players to join us too.
I think Doug is still waiting to get on. Who else is on the call that would like to ask Coach Bennett a question?
Norm's here.
Norm, go ahead.
Hey, Tony, you talked about the three-point line. I'm just curious to get your opinion. I don't know if you answered this earlier, but I don't think you did, about how the shot clock may affect you, obviously, with the offensive rebounds and it getting reset in 20 seconds.
I'm not sure as much on that. I think it's okay. I think none of these rules are going to change things too drastically. I think the three-point line distance will be an interesting one. Obviously, you can now call a coach's the last 2 minutes, call a live ball timeout, and then an overtime like we used to be able to. There's obviously little ones, but the reset to 20, you know, maybe just trying to add a possession or two in the game. It's more of just being aware of it and getting used to it as far as that goes. So, but you know, you might, like I said, I think you just got to be aware of it. But 20 seconds is ample time. I don't think we want a 20-second shot clock in college basketball or even in the NBA for that matter, but off of a rebound. What did they reset to in the NBA, actually? I'm not sure.
14, I think.
14, okay. So, you know, it's kind of something similar to that. You just have to be aware of it and then obviously not know that you got a fresh 30.
David Teal.
Thanks. Tony, what have the last 2+ months been like for you in Minneapolis? Has it been exhausting? Did you get away? Decompress? And what was the destination?
All of the above, David. All of the above. It's been wonderful. I've definitely gotten to get away and decompress, but certainly been busy with speaking engagements and recruiting. And, you know, even talking to, you know, whether it be agents or NBA teams about our guys that are the exciting time of going into the draft, all those things. The experience to experience what I did with my father was absolutely amazing. That was a highlight. So just a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. And then yesterday being the first day of summer school and our, you know, time of just talking to the team and starting the preparations was just exciting time to kind of get going with this group. So it's been a whole lot of everything. And like I said, I'm grateful for the busyness of it because it means something really good happened. So no complaints here. And I've noticed that maybe a little more, I get noticed a little more, but I guess that's okay. So as I told our guys, just enjoy it, but it doesn't change anything. You get after it, stay humble, and realize that we were part of something amazing, and let's try to, you know, start something again and do that.
Okay, Doug, you on? Oh, I'm sorry, David, you had to follow up? Hold on, David.
Do you care to share what you shot at Augusta?
I think I was like 9 or 10 under par. I think something like that. I threw the scorecard. I can't remember. So, a few good shots, David, and a few bad shots. Let's put it that way. More bad putts than good putts.
All right, Doug.
Yeah, I haven't been on more than about 2 or 3 minutes. So I would likely answer, asked something that's been answered before, but I'm just curious, could you possibly add another player before the fall?
Could we, could
you possibly add another player this fall?
Add another player this fall.
We have one scholarship left.
Are you trying to fish for something, Doug? I'm not sure here. I don't know yet.
No, we have 12 scholarship guys. I'm trying to figure this out here.
We could have five players. We could have four walk-ons and a scholarship guy. So sure, yeah, we could have more than one. It's great.
Okay, so, I guess my question is it possible you'll do anything with that scholarship?
All options are always open. That's the way I look at it.
No, I mean, that's certainly, you're always looking.
I mean, most things have closed down, but yeah, certainly you could. And in the past, we've awarded it if we haven't used it at like the midway point to one of our walk-ons, but certain things can come up. You just don't know. It's such a different time, Doug. We all know this with grad transfers and opportunities. So you really are. You're looking and seeing and what's available. I think the pool is shrinking, but you just never know. And I'm not trying to be evasive about anything. It's just something that you look at as it seems like things change week to week. All of a sudden, hey, there's a guy that's available or not. So we, we're in a spot where we have one. But obviously, we're focusing certainly on the class of 2020 and 2021 and beyond for your future recruiting.
Okay, we're going to take one more question from Mike Barber in regards to Coach Bennett's thoughts on the NBA draft. So, Mike, go ahead and ask Tony, and then we'll wrap it up.
Yeah, Coach, if you would just address, kind of what you're hearing about your guys, what the outlook is, and what that process has been like for you.
Yeah, I mean, that's not for me to, to address exactly what. I'm very excited for them. I mean, there's having gone through this as a player a long time ago, there's so many mock drafts, there's so many things floated out there, but until that name is called or that situation happens, you just don't know because trades can happen, things can go, and I know they can suggest, hey, this guy's slotted for this area, that guy, and they're pretty accurate with some of those, but I really don't know. My biggest concern is that, for Kyle and Ty and DeAndre, that, when they – wherever they end up, whatever program or whatever, program you say, or team, club, they end up with that, it just, they're ready to go. That they're ready to go, they're given a great opportunity, and they represent, what all they've learned and who they are, and just go after it. And that's what I hope. So, of course, you see the stuff. I just don't know. I talk to, a lot of times you get the GMs or player personnel people call you after workouts and ask you, questions that they want to know. Sometimes they come to your facility and, they circle the wagons. They interview everyone. They want to know, how he was. They'll talk to our academic coordinator, our trainers, different people around the program to find out. So they do their research when they're thinking of, drafting these guys. So it's just it's not an exact science, and I don't know if you can slot it in, but I text those guys and I pray for them and I encourage them and tell them just keep working and be ready, because the draft is one part of it, but then summer league comes, then the season starts. That's the long term stuff that I want for them. So I know I'm not answering the specifics of, hey, this guy looks like he's going here or there, but no one truly knows that because there's some moving pieces going on right up until the last moment. You need to ask Bach about that. He's the NBA expert. I'm just a college guy, so.
All right.
What was your role with Mamadi's decision?
Yeah, no, I think with Mamadi, I think it was, the new rule allows a player to go and test until, this year, I don't know if it'll stay till May 29th. And it was just, look, if this is what you want to do, get great experience. If you can knock it out of the park and it's something you want to, you can knock it out of the park and people feel like there's a wonderful opportunity and you can get drafted in a desirable spot, well, you got to consider that. If not, then grow from this experience, learn from it, take what you did, come back and be a part of this and improve your game, be a part of this team, get your degree, and be as prepared as you can next year at the same time. So we just communicated that way. Text some, talk a little bit, and then you go through a process. Mommy, they're allowed to sign with an agent, so mommy signed with an agent, and you know, you kind of, they just work together, and he did a number of workouts for the teams, and played in a couple of the G League combine, I guess, and there's some they call them pro days. So I think he got invaluable experience. Really, it was that, and you get some feedback, and then you know, you come back. So just, I was there for him, and I wanted what was best for Malmedy. I really did. I wanted to him to get the feedback, and then make a sound decision. That's all you can ever ask for these guys.